Romans chapter 8. I'm going to be preaching particularly on verse 24, but let me start in the first verse and then jump down to 24 and read a few verses. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. That's how it is in the oldest text. And then we jump down to 24, which is my text for the day and for the new year. For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Now, obviously, it's the first day of the week, Christian Sabbath, Sunday, and it happens once in 7 years. It's the first Sabbath, is the first day of the year, 2017. And so I was thinking, what would be a fine text to preach on the first day of 2017? And this verse was coming to mind, Romans 8:24. For we are saved by hope. And that verse shows us what a large element of the Christian life is characterized by hope. Christianity has always been a religion characterized by hope. There was a great preacher in London named John Henry Jowett before Martin Lloyd-Jones at Westminster Chapel in London. And once he wrote a book, it was a series of sermons on a book I've always liked, although I don't possess a copy of it. It's entitled Apostolic Optimism. And he went through and looked at how the apostles of the Lord Jesus Christ, their preaching, their lives, their activities were so characterized by what we could only call wonderful optimism. They were buoyed along in a very difficult world when they were a massive minority by this amazing optimism. And so verse 24 of Romans 8 is in that mode. It shows us when it says, for we are saved by hope, that no matter what we may be called to go up against in a new year, and New Testament says, ye know not what a day may bring forth, which is true. How could we know what a year may bring forth? And the older you get, the more aware you are of that. I sometimes say I'm going to preach, you know, a conference in 6 months or a year, and I may do that, and then again, I may not do that because God may have other arrangements. We know not what a year may bring forth, what we'll face. Who knows? But verse 24 of Romans 8 says, we're going to make it triumphantly through every unforeseen circumstance, everything we don't know. We don't know so much. Your health, your finances, your family, your friends, your enemies, your country. We don't know most of the things that will happen. Here's what we know. We are saved by hope. We'll get through it on the basis of what God has caused us to hope in. Interestingly, Romans 8:24 doesn't say we're saved by worrying. It doesn't say we're saved by fretting. On the contrary, we're saved by inextinguishable, glorious hope. And so I want to look fairly briefly today, as a briefer sermon maybe than other times, at just how we are saved by hope. And then secondly, at what this hope involves. First of all, how we're saved by hope. Now here's what it is not. Before I tell you what it is, I got to tell you what it is not, because this could be confusing for people that know their Bible and their Westminster standards fairly well. Romans 8:24 does not mean that we're saved by the instrumentality of hope. Because St. Paul, in the same epistle, turn it back to Romans chapter 5, verse 1, he says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Hope is not the instrumentality of personal salvation. Faith is. We're justified by faith, or more accurately, we're justified by grace through the instrumentality of faith. The old Puritans used to say, faith is as the eye to seeing, or faith is the empty hand that reaches out to receive this gift. Others said, faith is like a golden pipe down which eternal life, forgiveness, flow from heaven. Romans 2:8-9, for by grace are you saved by faith. And that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So Romans 5:1, Ephesians 2:8, and many another place says the instrumentality by which you and I become Christians, by which we're saved, is faith. Faith in Jesus, looking out to another, is what saves us. And hope doesn't do exactly that. Faith does it. However, here's what hope does, and it's very, very wonderful, and I want you to take this with you, not just this Sunday, but through the whole year. Take this with you. The Authorized Version, or King James Version, which is what I normally use, it might not be, in this case, the closest translation. I mean, it's usually the best or near the best, but not always. The original Greek of Romans 8:24 actually doesn't say, for we are saved by hope. And I could give it to you in Greek, I won't do it. What it says is, we are saved with hope. Now, what does that mean? We are saved in association with hope. How about that? When we get saved, it's like sweet sister Hope takes us by the hand and never lets our hand go. I had a little grandson who normally doesn't ask to hold my hand. Sometimes he protests if I say, "You got to hold my hand as we're crossing a street." But the other day, he wanted to hold my hand because he had some Christmas presents he wanted to show me. He was proud of. So he held my hand. It's like hope is a sweet sister when we get saved. She's got our hand. And she's going to lead us through every kind of situation. Saved in association with hope. Now, that's important because of the tests that all Christians have to face in this earthly life. Yes, 2017. Yes, in the year you were born. Yes, the year you were saved and so forth. Many tests God is going to put you and me through. We're no better than our master. And as he was tested, we too are going to be tested. But in all the tests, a sweet little sister, maybe a big sister, has hold of her hand. Sweet sister, hope. Now, there's some areas where we're not tested. Nothing to worry about. I'm going to talk to you about some areas where maybe we feel worried, but these are not. One is, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ when we're believers. There's no question that God has forgiven us all our sins. If a voice comes and said, "Maybe you're not forgiven," that's the voice of the devil, and you say, "I go by what God says, I am forgiven." Because he said it, because Jesus' blood is sufficient to make me clean. You don't have to worry about that. Acts 13:39. He that believes is justified from all things from which he could not be justified by the law of Moses. Isn't that wonderful? No condemnation, says Romans 1. No condemnation of them that are in Christ Jesus. The law that you and I have so often offended cannot reach us as we stand in Christ. And sweet sister hope has hold of our hand. Another area you haven't got to worry about ever is what's going to happen when you die, if you're a believer. We have a heavenly home waiting for us. We're somewhat different ages in this congregation. I guess, I'm not sure of this, or whether Linda and I are the oldest, I don't know. Maybe Kurt. Anyway, we don't know how long we'll be here. But we haven't got a thing to worry about where we're going. My mother's favorite verse was John 14. In my Father's house are many mansions, and I had it put on her tombstone. See, she so often mentioned it to me. In my childhood, in my Father's house are many mansions. That's where we're going. You got somewhere to go. Wonderful past imagination. Now, one reason the Lord doesn't give us much description of heaven, he gives a little, but not much. I believe that if we could see just remotely what it looks like, we might feel unwilling to stay down here much longer. God wants you to be satisfied here with what you've got and serve him with what you've got. And then at the right time, he's going to take you up to what he will be delighted to show you. I don't know if this is literally true. I'm thinking about the little grandson took my hand. "Granddaddy, let's go see these presents." So I went. I don't know if the Lord will take our hand, or will it be sweet sister hope? Probably hope passes away when you see the real thing. So I reckon the Lord said, "Look here, look what I got for you." Will he have time for me? Of course he will. He had time to create you in His image. He had time to feel with His Spirit. He has time when He was dying for you, when He's rising for you. He'll have plenty of time for you in heaven. You say, well, aren't other people more important? They may be. Who knows? I don't know about that. Jesus got plenty of time, a lot of things He's going to show you when you get there. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. So you haven't got a thing to worry about whether your sins are forgiven or would be forgivable if you'll confess them. Where are you going to go when you die? Don't waste your time. There's other things you think about. Don't bother with that. That's all taken care of. That's part of the Romans 5:1. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. But now, what I want to talk about the rest of our little time together here this morning is what we don't have yet. That's where we need sweet sister Hope sometime to squeeze us a little bit by the hand and say, let's keep going down this road which you started. What we do not have yet is the fullness of the glory that shall be ours. You don't have it yet. Romans 8:18 speaks of the glory which shall be revealed in us. It's not fully revealed in us yet. We'd be brighter than a holy angel, than maybe Archangel Gabriel that we were talking about a few Sundays ago. I don't know. If the glory that shall be revealed in us burst out now, we're not ready for it yet. Not the right time. But one day the glory shall be revealed in you that would outshine the sun. You don't have that yet. You have an aging body. I'm well aware of mine. And verse 18 of Romans 8 contrasts the glory that shall be revealed with us with the sufferings of the present time. Good old Christian lady in Pembroke, Indian lady that lived next to one of my cousins. I enjoyed talking to her over the years from time to time. Once said to me, now she's in glory. She said, usually you don't get out of this world without a certain amount of suffering, particularly coming towards the end. And I believe that'd be right. I don't want to read it, but if you look at the end of Romans chapter 8, verse 35 to 39, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, sword, and all those things. God's children are appointed to go through some of those things, usually not all of them, but some of them at certain times. And so instead of seeing yourself radiant with glory, you're going through criticism, disappointment, hurt, famine, sometimes famine, we hadn't had it, and peril. Apostle Paul knew about this in 2 Corinthians 4. I will read you this, 2 Corinthians 4:16-18. And some years you know more of this than other years. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, it were wearing out. Yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, see, it doesn't feel that light to me. My eyes are going, my hearing's going, my arthritis or this or that. It doesn't feel like, yeah, but in light of eternity, it's light. Not that bad. Your sweet sister Hope has hold of your hand. For the light affliction, which is but for a moment, just a moment, split second, in contrast with eternity, worketh for us a far more exceeding, and here it is, eternal weight of glory. The glory, the glory, the glory. That's what you don't have in its fullness yet. You're not going to have it down here in its fullness. You have foretaste of it. You have down payment of it. You don't have the fullness of it. That's why we have the need of the help of sweet sister Hope. Sometimes more than other times. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. Sweet sister Hope says, look, look, there's the glory. It's what you're going to be in Christ. Think about that. In my Father's house are many mansions. Think about that. The things that are seen are temporal. Our mind tends to concentrate on the temporal, on the passing. It feels interesting. It feels close. But the things which are not seen are eternal. And so, with the best of assurance of salvation, indwelling of the Holy Spirit that makes us know we're God's child, and that our Heavenly Father has many mansions, and it's part of it's for us, without doubt. Still, we have to face aging, inevitable illness, other kinds of tests, disappointments sometimes, and eventually the open grave. But all those things will be gone forever, soon enough. At the worst things we experience, it's but for a moment, 2 Corinthians 4, a light affliction. But for a moment, sweet sister Hope says, hold my hand. Let's think about the glory which soon enough you shall enter. And say a little bit more about this glory that sweet sister Hope points us to. It is, for one thing, bodily resurrection. You could say we've had resurrection in our souls or in our spirits. That's the new birth. We become a new creation in Christ. He comes inside of us and renews the spirit. I don't know how he does it. You couldn't know, except I feel the results of it from childhood. That the Lord is with me, that the Lord is in me, that he forgives my sin, that he's leading me to something infinitely better. And so we've all that are believers have experienced a spiritual resurrection on the inside. But what I'm talking about, one day we'll have bodily resurrection. I promised one of my cousins I'd go to a particular churchyard where a lot of my relatives are buried. Not the main ancestors, but other much-loved relatives. And I hadn't done it yet, but I'm going to do it in the next week. Go there and think about the ones I knew well that were very good to me, did much for me, and one day their bodies will be raised in beauty and glory and power and youthfulness. Great joy as mine will be. I'll be at a different cemetery in Moore County. Not that matters. 1 John 3:2 says, sweet sister Hope says, think about this. That we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. I think this, and here is where we need sweet sister Hope, maybe more so than anywhere else. The most sincere Christians need hope here. We're saved in association with hope. It's this. When we feel and we know that we have disappointed the Lord, and you think, well, I am at this age, and I would have thought I'd have been far more sanctified, than I am now. And I've heard all this preaching or done all this preaching or teaching or read my Bible many, many times. And yet I wonder why I'm not better. Why sometimes something I say or do or fail to do has got to be a disappointment to Jesus. Now that is difficult. If you're the more sincere Christian you are, the more keenly you'll feel it. And the less proudly you will walk on earth, and the less superior you will feel to others. But sweet sister Hope says, now lift up your eyes to the hills from whence cometh your help, from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. The one who saved you is going to get you there. And together with Hope, we're going to make it through, that you will repent, that you will be able to change in some positive ways, and that your attitude will be better because it will be suffused with hope of the future. Let's light into you today. Hope about the future. Assurance of where you're going makes a positive change in you today. I had a professor, and my wife had the same professor for a while. We didn't agree with everything he said. He was Eastern Orthodox, but a brilliant person in Edinburgh, and then he went elsewhere. And he wrote a book in which he said something that has stuck with me every day since I read it in his book. A Christian has roots in two directions. Roots in the past, we understand that. I have mother, father, grandparents, great-grandparents, and you do, and I'm Carolinian and Southern and so forth and so on. And so we have roots in the past, and I met Jesus. But then this professor said, we also, as Christians, have roots in the future. And these are at least as determinative of what our life is like now as the roots in the past. If you're a Carolina person, you're Southern, you're this or that, well and good. Roots in the future, our roots are in heaven. So Ephesians 2 says we're seated with him in heavenly places. It's so certain that's where we're going. Our roots are really in the future. And so some of the light and the beauty and the glory and the hopefulness and the optimism from heaven have a way of coming down, especially through what I'm calling sweet sister Hope, into us and lifting our eyes up to that place, saying, you sometimes have done very poorly, but you will get through this in accompaniment with the hope that came into your life when you got saved. You're going to get through it and honor God whatever time has left you down here. And especially in verses 26 to 28, that would be another sermon. I'm not going to preach it this morning. I'd like to. It is about the Holy Spirit and prayer. I think the Holy Spirit is really the one that spreads abroad in us this hope. And especially verses 26 to 28 of Romans 8 emphasize how the Holy Spirit is guiding us in what we desire the most. What we're praying for. And as we're praying, it's like the roots that we have in the future in heaven are working more powerfully in us to change our attitude from the inside out and to suffuse hope within us and to put light within us that we wouldn't have had if we weren't praying this way. And interestingly, it says sometimes we don't know how to pray. Now, after all these years, I know how to formulate a of pastoral prayer. I hope they're all right. But a lot of things I don't always know how to pray for. You don't either. Sometimes it's barely a groan coming from us some days in some situations, just a groan. But the Holy Spirit's in the groaning. And what is really happening, John Calvin said, is the Holy Spirit inside the believer, even when the believer doesn't quite grasp it, the Holy Spirit is re-echoing the intercessions of Christ in heaven. Holy Spirit is in heaven where Christ is praying to the Father. Holy Spirit, who comes out of heaven into me, is re-echoing in me what Christ wants the most, and sometimes I'm not sure. So maybe I'm praying for something that's not just right. I've known of young men that prayed for a particular young lady, it wasn't right. So the Holy Spirit can get you praying right. Or I've known a young men and young women wanted a particular job. In God's view, evidently it wasn't just right for them. So the Holy Spirit takes the intercession of Christ and changes that and turns it around so that even when they don't quite understand, later they probably will understand that job's not the right one, something else. So the Holy Spirit comes from heaven and re-echoes the intercessions of Christ so that we begin wanting what Christ wants, and then we'll get it. It'll be safe to give it to us. What's happening is this. The Holy Spirit, through hope, first of all, the hope may not be clearly articulated. You're not quite sure just what. He takes some of the coming glory that eventually you'll have in all the fullness that you can stand it. You'll have it one day. But not just yet. You're not ready for it yet. But you get a little bit of it as much as you're ready for. You get it. And then he reorders your present circumstances with this beautiful, glorious hope of where your roots really are, your profoundest roots in heaven. In a sense, when you die, if your coffin is put in the family home as it used to be, not much now, well, they say taking them away from home to the church. Yeah, well, I know. But really, you're going home when you leave here. That was your home. My great-grandmother, Blue, before I was born, was on her deathbed and kept saying to some of her daughters, my great-aunt said, I want to go home. And I said, but Mother, you've lived in this home 60 years since you were married. And she said, you don't understand. This is not my home. Heaven is my home. And then we one day, sweet sister Hope's going to take us up into the glory. And in the meantime, till then, that'll be a while, we are saved in association with Hope. And it's going to make everything so different as you let sweet sister Hope take you by the hand and lead you into 2017. Amen.